Now, he's got his CD available. You might want to get one of those CDs after the service. He's going to be at the information table, and if you'd like to get one, what do they go for, Daniel? 10? Okay. A year ago in August, Pastor Fiona and I have been here for 8 years, and I just got to say, I couldn't do what I do without the help that God has given me and my beautiful and wonderful wife. Amen. She's awesome. And we work together. We co-pastor. And, in everything, she is a great help. So we started a youth group, and we called it Air Force because we're all about inheritance. All right? And I want you just to make this confession with me. All right? So join with me as we make this confession. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm a prayer warrior. I have answered my Father's call. I'm an heir of God according to the promise. My mission is to pray, possess, and proclaim God's best. I am part of a rich heritage of faith, a righteous way of life, a kingdom that shall not end. I'm a child of divine inheritance. I will walk by faith and not by sight. The word is my sword and God is my shield. His spirit leads and guides me into all truth. I'm a child of God and an heir. Faithful, true, and humble. I will have the God kind of faith. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. God's word cannot fail. Amen. So we meet every other Tuesday at 6:30, and we started off with 3 young people, and we run between 10 and 12 now. So if you know some young people between the ages of 12 and 18, you guys have a good time in Air Force. Amen. They have a lot of fun, giving me a lot of positive feedback. Glory to God. Well, I believe I've gotten everything. If I've forgotten something, all right, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Amen. I'm just so glad you're here tonight for this kickoff service of Air Force Camp Courage. Amen. I don't think we could kick it off a better way. Don't you think that God sent us some great gifts? Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Lord, we just praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Amen. And even though we have a variety of gifts, we're all working for the same cause. Amen? You know, God is a fun God. He's got a million ways that he'll move heaven and earth to get his goodness to you. And we've come to the part of the service that I'm going to share the word with you. And Brother John Killian, Commander Killian, will be sharing tomorrow night. And Pastor Dorman will be sharing on Saturday. And we're going to have some communion on Saturday. I'll tell you what, young people, are you ready? Amen? You excited? You pumped up? All right. Glory to God. I don't know. I'm excited too. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. And the message that I'm going to share with you tonight is aim high and let heaven touch you. Because our theme is aim high. It goes with Air Force. And, you know, we get the bird's eye view from heaven. And then God sends the ground troops in to possess the land. And so we're working together. I'm so glad that I get to work with Sledgehammer Ministries. Amen. Glory to God. He crushes darkness. Praise the Lord. And Pastor Dorman and your family, I'm so glad you have a blessed family. What's the name of your church? Evangel Tabernacle in Ontario, Wheatley, Ontario. Okay, so yeah, they came from Ontario, and Daniel came from South Carolina, and John and Marshall came from South Carolina. So, amen. When I was in college, we used to do things called invasions, and we would go into a city, and we would work with a church, we would go and share the gospel in that city. Then we would have services, and it was a great time, and I feel like I'm in that environment tonight. Amen? So just sit back, relax, and God is going to continue to do some good things. Amen? And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." So I'm believing God that he's going to open heaven tonight. Because you cannot get any higher than heaven. Every good thing that God has done in this earth originated in heaven. Heaven is the most exciting place that's not on this earth to be. And I want to be there. I've already got my citizenship. My mansion is already being built. It's being prepared for me, and I cannot wait to get there. There's nothing on this earth that can compare to heaven. You know, a few months ago, the end of May, I had the privilege, my family and I, we had the privilege of visiting my brother-in-law and sister in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Beautiful place. I've never been there before. That was my first time. And you know, think of the place that you visited and that you've seen and that you've experienced that was just wonderful and marvelous and fantastic. You know, I love the environment in Colorado. I loved, you know, it would be hot during the day, but a nice breeze at night. And my brother-in-law, he had a screened-in porch, and we would sit on the back porch. We'd watch planes come into the Colorado Springs Airport. They would fly right across, you know. There was a dry riverbed, and you could see the planes just gliding across. But the most exciting thing for me was to visit Pikes Peak, which is 14,000 feet above sea level. And we drove up Pikes Peak, and there's no guardrails on the road. And I had my sister, my two nieces, and my wife, and every time we'd come up to a curve, they'd go, "Ah! Oh! Oh! Oh!" Cuz you'd look down, you know? And you'd be amazed. Eventually, we got so high that we were looking right at the mountains we would look up at. And, I mean, it was breathtaking. We got to a point. There's like three lakes around Pikes Peak. And we got to the point, we come around this bend, and it was wide open. You see the water, and it was wide. Oh, what a beautiful place. And we got to the top. And the key is, if along the way, you got to drink water. Because if you don't drink any water along the way, you get to the top and you're like, your head is spinning. Your head gets light. You know? The air is thin up there. It makes it hard to breathe. But we got to the top and there was ice on the top. People were snow skiing at the top. It dropped about 20 degrees at the top. And the wind was blowing. But I would recommend you go there sometime if you get the opportunity. And you know, we can go to places on this earth, and we could do our best to describe how they are and how they make us feel, but it doesn't do it justice until you see it yourself and you experience it. I could tell you things about heaven. I could tell you about people who came from there. Jesus came from heaven. I could tell you that when heaven opens up, this is what's going to happen. You're going to see something, and you're going to hear something, and you're going to know something. And the best part of it is, there's an invitation for you to participate in heaven right now. God made it possible for us to have a little bit of heaven on earth. When his disciples didn't know how to pray, they said, Lord, we don't know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Part of that prayer was that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants his will done right here, just like it is in heaven, and he's made it possible for us to do that through Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you. Here's what's going to happen. In heaven, you're going to see things. In heaven, you're going to hear things. In heaven, you're going to receive things. And in heaven, you will be forever in the presence of the Lord. Now, would you like to go on this journey with me? We're going to go on a journey of sight and sound. I'm going to do my best to describe some things. I want you to feel it. I wish we had one of those, big theaters? IMAX, yeah. They got speakers the size of a basketball court. Amen? Or how many has ever been in those theaters where the seats move or they spray you with water? It feels like you're right there, you know? I wish I could give you a pair of 3D glasses where the gospel would just jump out to you. I'm going to tell you what. Tonight, you can experience heaven. How many want to experience heaven tonight? Amen? I want you to open your hearts. I'm not going to be too long. Then we're going to give you an opportunity to experience heaven. Heaven is among us. Amen? You didn't know it, but I'm not of this world. I'm an extraterrestrial. I've got citizenship in the skies. Amen? And I plan, when I leave this world, I'm moving on up to a skyscraper in the sky. Amen? And we're going to get down, because I'll tell you what, God is going to throw a party that's going to end all party. He's been planning this party for 6,000 years, and he's given every one of you an invitation, and he wants you to come and join him at this party. There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. I'm telling you what, that God knows how to party. He knows how to have fun. You think you know how to party? You don't know how to party, but the Holy Ghost, man, he knows how to party. I feel a party spirit in here tonight. Woo! Man. Oh. Y'all bring your seat belts? Woo! What are you going to see in heaven? I want you to look at this passage of Scripture in Revelation 4. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing. Notice the door wasn't shut. Didn't say what's behind door number one or door number two. He said there was a door that was open. Did you know God's got an open invitation? You can call on God anytime, anywhere, any day, no matter how you feel, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, every minute of every day, you can call upon God, because he has an open door policy. God has an open door policy. That means that anytime that you need to, you can come in. You can come. He's not going to force you to come. He'll give you an invitation, but it's up to you to enter in. And then he said, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking. How many has ever heard a trumpet speak? I don't do a good trumpet. And the trumpet, it sounded like a trumpet speaking with him, saying, come up here. Come up here. Come on in. The water's fine. And I will show you things. See, in heaven you're going to hear things. In heaven you're going to see things. And God wants to see, he wants to you to show you things on earth, and he wants you to hear things on earth that come from heaven. We have a direct line to heaven. You know, the President of the United States, he has a secret phone that anywhere, any place, anytime that he needs to get in touch with someone, he's got this secret phone. I met a person who worked for the Navy who was part of the president's communication team. And this team was responsible to making communication with the president wherever he is on this planet. They have to make it possible. They have to make it happen. Because when the president needs to speak to someone, it's got to happen, amen? But now you, every one of us, you have a direct line to heaven. And God put a secret phone in your heart. And it's on speed dial. All you got to do is J-E-S-U-S. Call upon the Lord and he will answer you. God will never put you on hold. You'll never hear God say, I'm sorry, I'm too busy today handling things in the world. No, God has got time for every one of you. There's nothing too small or too great for God. Then verse 2, he said, immediately I was in the spirit. Woo, you got to get in the spirit. Amen. How do you get in the spirit? You let the spirit get in you and you'll be in the spirit. You got to get in the spirit. Did you know that the spirit agrees with the book? You got to get in the spirit. All right? Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Spirit is with your heart. It's when you open yourself up to God, when you pray, when you call upon his name, when you worship, you're getting in the spirit. He was in the spirit. Notice immediately he was in the spirit. Something transformed. And beheld a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So he saw a throne. He saw one sitting on the throne. He's doing his best to describe it. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. Now we could look at a jasper, we could look at a sardis, and we could tell how brilliant it is. But you know what? He's trying to use earthly words to describe a heavenly thing. He's doing his best. And then he said there was a rainbow. How many has ever seen a rainbow? Amen? What colors are in the rainbow? The spectrum, right? Now imagine that rainbow sitting around the throne. That reminded God of his covenant that he made with Noah. I will never cause it to rain on the earth again. He set a rainbow. He set a rainbow on earth and he set a rainbow in heaven. Do you realize everything that happens on earth is created in heaven? The Bible says that whatever we loose on earth is what? Loosed in heaven. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Heaven will back you up because God wants to get his will on this earth, and he needs a vessel like you to get it in, to get his will on the earth. You got to be willing to be a vessel. So he saw the rainbow around the throne like an emerald. Around the throne, there were 24 thrones. So he saw the main throne, then he saw 24 thrones. Are you getting a picture of heaven? Does it make you want to be there? And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders. Does thunders make a noise? Boom! If you count the thunder, 1, 2, 3, 4, it'll tell you how far away the lightning is. Where there's thunder, there's lightning. Thunder is the noise, lightning is the visual. But they work together. Do you have thunder and lightning in your life? Or are you just a cloud that the wind just blows any direction? See, when lightning touches, it strikes. You don't want to be where lightning is. And it'll never strike twice in the same place, so they say. God wants you to be like lightning. He wants you to make your mark on this earth, and you've got a short time to do it. Lightning is here, and then it's gone. You've got a short time to make your mark in this earth. You've got to make your mark in this earth. It's going to be a quick work. I don't know how much time we got left, but Jesus is coming back. How many's ever played hide and seek? All right? Here's how Jesus is going to come back. When Jesus comes back, he's going to say, ready or not, here I come. And you're either ready or you're not ready. And the time to get ready is not in that day. The time to get ready is now. Now is the day of salvation. Faith is now. Right now, you got to take this moment. You got to take what God's putting in your heart. You got to take this moment and you got to make the best of it. Because you don't know how many other moments you have. You can't play around. Daniel knew what it's like to play around. I knew what it was like. I got saved when I was 12. I backslid when I was 16. I came back to the Lord when I was 18. I quit hanging around with my friends that were, all they wanted to do was be in the world. I went to the bookstore in the mall. I bought a Bible and I read the thing till it was falling apart and I fell in love with the Word. I fell in love with the Word. See, so in heaven you're going to see things. There was a man by the name of Stephen, and he was serving in the church. He was actually waiting on tables. Yeah, we have a Stephen right here. But see, while Stephen was waiting on tables and serving people, he was performing miracles. Hi, how are you doing? Would you like a healing with that Coke? Would you like a deliverance with those fries? He was waiting on tables and performing miracles, signs, and wonders. Did you know that wherever place God has you, with the power of God, you can perform miracles, signs, and wonders if you connect with heaven by letting heaven come in you? And there was Stephen. Now, people didn't like Stephen because they wanted to accuse him. So they got a group of people who were false accusers. They paid these guys to lie about Stephen. And they said he was blaspheming, he was speaking against Moses. And so the Spirit of the Lord came on Stephen and he began to preach the word. He began to tell them about Abraham and Moses and the Exodus and how God moved, brought him through the Red Sea, brought him through the Promised Land. And they got to the point where they gnashed their teeth at him. Her. That's what gnashing their teeth is. Her. Because they were touched in their heart because what he was speaking was true. They began to stone Stephen. But you know what? Stephen had a vision. There was another moment where heaven was opened up and Stephen saw something and heard something. What did he see? See, John saw someone sitting on the throne. But Stephen saw someone standing on the throne. He was going, that's my boy, Stephen, you tell him, you tell him. Jesus was cheering Stephen. He was out of his seat. He gave Stephen a standing ovation. He saw the glory of God. So the rocks are hitting his body. He doesn't even feel the rocks. He's looking at the glory. He's fixed on heaven. He knows where he's going. He knows who's waiting for him. He knows what it's going to be like. He got a little glimpse of heaven, and he wanted to go so bad. So as the rocks kept hitting him, Stephen died. He said, Father, lay not this charge to their account. He said the very same thing that Jesus did. Do you know what kind of an impact that statement made? Because there was a man by the name of Saul who was holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. And Saul heard those words. He heard those words, "Father, lay not this charge to their account." Stephen's last testimony on this earth was a seed in Saul's life that led to his salvation. But see, he saw heaven open up. He saw the glory of God. He gazed into heaven and saw the glory and the splendor and the majesty. It's brighter than the noonday sun. No sunglasses on earth can keep out the light. It's so consuming. It's glorious. It's wonderful. And you know what? God's glory can be here too. If you open yourself up to heaven. How are you going to do it? You're going to aim high. You got to set a higher standard for your life. You got to be willing to come up. Isn't that what he told John? Come up here. Well, no, I'm afraid to come up. I don't want to come up. But there's a greater blessing if you come up. Some of you need to come up. Some of you need to come up. You're playing around with things that are going to destroy you, steal from you, and kill from you. You need to come up higher. You need to raise the bar in your life. You need to be an example in your schools, with your friends. You need to take the lead position. Jesus told one of his disciples, Nathaniel. He said, "You're going to see heaven open up, and you're going to see angels ascending and descending, just like Jacob." How many would like to see an angel? Woo! 9-foot dude coming up and coming down, delivering messages. Man, I'd like to see that. I've never seen an angel, but I believe they're there. They're like scotch tape. You can't see them, but I know they're there. Amen? Are you having fun? I'm preaching myself happy. You might as well say amen or oh me, it's so anyway. I remember my mentor, Brother Hagin. Now, he was in his late 70s, all right? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would hit him. I've seen him in his late 70s raise his leg up higher than the pulpit. And all of a sudden, he'd go, woo! He'd be like this, woo! 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 See, now, sometimes when the Holy Ghost hits me, I laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Some of you are out of practice, I can tell. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. You see how good God is? He's better than an icicle on a hot day. You got to let me tell you something. I want heaven to touch you tonight. It's not me. It's heaven. You know what happens when something comes down from heaven? Something happens. Jesus told his disciples, gather in Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father. So out of 500 people who saw Jesus rise from the dead, 120 showed up. What is that, 20-some percent? 24%? Think about that. You can read in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about how more than 500 people saw Jesus rise from the dead, but how come only 120 showed up on the day of Pentecost? Boy, you talk about a church growth seminar. What did you do? I went from 500 to 120. Praise the Lord! But you know what? When you get 120 hungry people, that's all you need. So they're there in this upper room. They're talking to one another. Stephen, you know what's going to happen? Elliot, you know what's going to happen? Sarah, you know what's going to happen? God told us to wait. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. How many like to wait? How many would say, I want to wait 10 minutes for my Big Mac? I ain't waiting 10 minutes for my Big Mac. Are you kidding me? I want it now. 5 minutes late? No, come on. Pizza coming 31 minutes. You owe me a free pizza? My point is, People don't like to wait sometimes. When is he going to get finished? People don't like to wait. These people had to wait for 40 days, or 50 days actually. From the time he rose to Pentecost is 50 days. How'd you like to have a church service for 50 days? But you know what? They're gathered in the room. And all of a sudden, something was happening. Never shake the pulpit if you got stuff in it. My point is, they heard a sound from heaven. It was a rushing mighty wind. Like a freight train. Woo! It filled the house. So they heard a sound, then they saw the fire. When they heard and they saw, something happened inside of them. When they heard and they saw, they were filled from heaven. Where did the sound come from? Didn't come from earth. It came from heaven. And all of a sudden, something got on the inside of their belly and it began to rise, and they started speaking languages they've never studied, they've never learned, they've never practiced. It was a totally different language and dialect that they ever knew. And it just so happened that there were people from all around the world in there. You know, God knows how to pick the place and the time. And they began to speak, and these people who were from Galilee, they didn't speak Parthian or Mede or Italian. They spoke Galilean. But the Galileans were speaking Parthian, Mede, Aramaic. They were speaking other languages. See, when heaven opens up and you hear a sound and you see something, then something's going to take place in you. And that's what's going to happen tonight. You're hearing about heaven. You're going to see the manifestation. And something's going to happen. If God's got to shake the house. Sometimes people are so dead that they got to be shook to woke up. Sometimes I feel like a cheerleader. Come on, you can do it. You got to pull. You got to pull. Give me a J. Give me an E. Give me an S-U-S. Give me a J. Give me an E. Give me an S. Give me a U. Give me an S. What's it spell? Hallelujah. I didn't know it'd be this wild tonight. But it's good, amen? Listen, I want what heaven has. Did you realize that heaven's best representative came and walked this earth, the Son of God? He came from heaven. An angel appeared to a woman, said, "You're going to have a baby." "I am? How's this going to happen?" "Supernatural. It's going to be miraculous." Okay. Say this with me. Say, okay. If God were to come to you and say, "I'm going to do a miracle in you," your response should be, okay. Amen? Don't question. Don't try to reason. Okay. Just receive. And this man named Jesus, he went to get baptized by his cousin John. And John said, "Ooh, I need to be baptized by you." Jesus said, "Let it be so for now." So he gets baptized. John puts him under. Now, when you baptize someone, do you dunk them once? Do you dunk them twice? Or do you hold them under till they really repent? I don't know. I ain't getting baptized by him. So John baptized him. And when Jesus was baptized, heaven opened up. A voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And John saw the Spirit descending on him. He heard from heaven and he saw, and something happened. What happened? Jesus got power to minister. He did his first miracle at a wedding. He turned water into wine. In heaven you will see things. In heaven you will hear things. Go with me to Exodus 19 for a minute. John heard a voice like a trumpet. Exodus 19. Look at verse 3. Moses went up to God. How many want to go up to God tonight? Amen? He's the glory and the lifter of your head. He'll lift you up. He'll lift your spirit up. If you're downtrodden, he'll lift you up with joy. That joy will be like one of those life preservers. You could be drowning in a sea of depression, and God will throw out his life preserver called joy, and joy will keep your head above water. Hallelujah. When all hell breaks loose, when you start laughing, that's the quickest way that the devil's going to leave, because he doesn't want to be laughed at. Ha ha ha. Sometimes you got to make yourself laugh at the enemy. Sometimes you got to dance when you don't feel like dancing. Sometimes you got to praise when you don't feel like it. It's called a sacrifice of praise. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to praise my Lord. I'm going to praise my Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to get walked back. This is how I pray. Lord, I thank you. You know what I started doing? I started going from A to Z. I would call God names from A to Z. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's Adonai. He is always by my side. He is my chief cornerstone. He is my deliverer. He is my evangelism. He's my everything. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See? Sometimes, in order for you to connect with heaven, you got to stir yourself up a little bit. That'd be like me taking you to a buffet and you not eat a thing and I paid money for it. What are you going with me for if you're not going to eat anything? Don't tell me you're fasting if I'm taking you to a buffet. Tell me before I invite you. Say, "Don't take me out, I'm fasting." I said, "Okay." Exodus 19. So Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him, so he heard his voice from the mountain, saying, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." All right? And let's go down to... Verse 12, "You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. When you mishandle the things of God, when you break his commandments, it results in death." Plain and simple. The littlest breaking of his commands results in death. The wages of sin is death. So some people have been building a retirement of death. They've been continually disobeying God in little things, and they're building up their retirement, so death is going to come quicker. Break that by obeying the Lord. Amen? That means you got to raise the standard. That means you respect and reverence the things of God. Amen? You got to respect and reverence the things of God. And when you're in the house of God, we need to get back to the fear of the Lord. This will be less than a movie as far as time. So, verse 13, he said, not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned if they disobey the Lord. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people. They washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountains, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud. Say, very loud. God likes things loud. Amen? When you are loud, it shows that you're not ashamed of something. Oh, yeah, if you're not ashamed of your team, I know that many of you who watch your favorite thing, whatever it is, you're not quiet about it. But yet, when it comes to the Lord, amen. Thank you for that amen. I'm telling you, man, having heaven on earth is the most exciting thing. I have lived the most exciting 29 years since I was born again at the age of 12. Well, yeah, 29 years on Sunday. So there was this cloud and there was this trumpet and it was very loud so that the people who were in the camp trembled. Sometimes God's got to be loud to make you tremble. He's got to shake some things. He's got to, serving the Lord is serious business, but it's so much fun. The devil is a liar. He thinks what he does is fun, but it's not, because it's a dead end. Then, so the people trembled, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. Tonight, we're going to meet with God. Amen? You're going to meet with God. And the Lord descended upon it in fire, like smoke ascended, like the smoke of a furnace. It was thick. It was heavy. Amen? The presence of the Lord. Sometimes, one time, the glory of the Lord filled the temple so much that the priest couldn't even stand to minister. People were trying to get in the church, and there was the priest laying out. Why do we lay out? Because when you come in contact with power, something's got to give. And it's not going to be the power. Amen? So sometimes, you know what I call when people get laid out? I call it spiritual anesthesiology. Sometimes God's got to knock you out to work on you, to do some surgery on your heart. Amen? And you don't have to worry, because you can't overdose on this anesthesiology. It's good stuff. And verse 19, when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, the louder God gets, the more serious he is. Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. I've never heard God's voice booming like that. I've heard it on the inside of me, but never. So in heaven, you're going to see something. You're going to hear something. And you're going to receive something. Jesus received the Holy Spirit from heaven. The church received the Holy Spirit from heaven. Amen? Daniel got an encouraging word from heaven. The angel came and said, Daniel, I heard your prayer 21 days ago. Well, praise the Lord. Most people would have given up on day 19. Well, I haven't heard anything yet. But an encouraging word came from heaven. Heaven is in our midst right now. Heaven wants to work in you, through you, and to you. So when you get in heaven, and then verse 20 says, then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. I believe Moses went up to heaven for 40 days. Do you realize that he saw the tabernacle in heaven, which gave him the ability to build it on earth? How many of you have a vision from heaven? My vision from heaven is to tell people what belongs to them and to help them appropriate or make it a reality in their life, because you can find your treasure and inheritance in God's word. John's got a purpose to crush the hardness of heart, to demolish strongholds. My wife's got a purpose to help you find out what your purpose is. If some of you are lost, you don't know what your purpose is, go see Pastor Fiona. Her purpose is to help you find your purpose. Now, here's the greatest part, and I'm going to close. Go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Here's the greatest part. In heaven, you're going to forever be with the presence of the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Say many. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Say, he's preparing a place for me. Now, if he's preparing a place, he expects you to be there. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be. Now, it doesn't say that you're automatically going to get there. Every one of us have a choice to make. You're either going to live for God or you're going to live for the devil. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's no middle ground. There's no walking a tightrope. There's no walking on a fence. You got to pick who you're going to follow, and you got to follow him. Elijah said, if Baal is God, serve him. But if God is God, serve him. He said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long is it going to take you? Well, I'll have tomorrow. Not necessarily. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to anybody. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you can come in contact with heaven and receive heaven's best. So I want you to aim high. I want you to pursue things of heaven. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. He's given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You've got keys that open doors to heaven, to God's riches, to his best. He'll unlock mysteries for you. He'll do great things. He'll give you joy, peace. Amen. Why don't you stand up with me? Who's going to answer the invitation to come and receive all that heaven has for you? Amen. I want to, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you thanks and praise. Lord, I thank you that you have opened up a door in heaven and you have given us an invitation to come in and to walk through that door and to take you by the hand and to make you Lord and to surrender all to you. I don't care if you've surrendered part. Part is not good enough. It's all or nothing. It's time to lay it all on the line. It's time to give it all for Jesus. It's time to get serious about the things of God. Because the devil will take you out if you play around with things. He'll take you out if you're not really serious. And if you're not really serious, it'll show up in your life. It'll show up in your behavior. It'll show up in your speech. And it will affect you. You'll be on the enemy's side. And eventually, you'll walk away from the very things you know. But God has brought you here tonight. He's brought you here so that you can encounter heaven. Heaven is here. God's glory is here. His presence is here. His Holy Spirit is right here, right now, and He wants to touch you. He wants to fill you. He wants to love on you. He wants to give you peace. He wants you to be so full of joy because He loves you. He wants to reveal His plan for your life. He wants to show you things. He wants you to hear things. He wants you to see things. So if that's you tonight, I want you to be brave. I want you to be bold. I need everybody paying attention right now at this moment. This is an opportunity, a window of opportunity, that you can step into greater things. You can go deeper with God. God said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. I am not ashamed of God. When I was 12 years old, I walked up front at Abundant Life Tabernacle. And I said, Jesus, be my Lord. And I felt something come in. It went whoom, like that. And when that came in me, my hands began to shake. I fell down on the floor. I was crying. I woke up laughing. That was the day that Jesus made himself real to me, and he came in because I invited him in. I heard the word, he touched my heart, and he manifested his presence in my life. And God wants to manifest his presence to you tonight. You need healing in your body. You need to be touched. You need to be filled. All that is for you right now. And if you want more of God, I want you to come up right now in Jesus' name. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you came from. God's got more for you. Amen? Hallelujah. If I could have the worship team play something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. You're not going to leave like you came here. Amen? You're not going to leave like you came. If I could have Pastor Dorman come on up. My wife come on up. Cindy, come on up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, gentlemen. Hallelujah. This is the moment of all moments. This is a decision that will affect the rest of your life in a greater way. You're saying, I want more of you, God. I want more of heaven in my life. John said, less of me, more of you. Amen? I want you to surrender all. I want you to lay it all on the line because God's got something for every one of you. Amen? We're going to turn these guys loose and we're going to pray for you. I just want you to be open and I want you to receive. Don't try to reason. Just receive. Amen? Our God is good. The Bible says all good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning, there's no variance. So he only gives good gifts, amen? He's not going to give you something bad, something that will harm you, but he's going to give you something that will help you, amen? So Father, right now, I just thank you, Lord, that your anointing and your power is going to go forth and it's going to work. It's going to touch these hearts. It's going to touch these lives. Heaven is going to come in. Lord, your power and your glory is going to come in and we're going to see the goodness of God and we're going to rejoice and give you glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Begin to minister to the people. Minister to the people. Daniel, if you want to pray for people.
Who set the stars in their place. You who calm the rain. that